With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. I'm your host, Matt Tardio. Today's episode is being brought to you guys by Built. Now, we've got a lot of things that are going on over inside of the Middle East. We also have the SecDef that came out to his response to Signalgate. Russia's coming out with some answers about how well the peace talks slash negotiations are going over, you know, for Ukraine-Russia conflict. And tons of other stuff is actually coming up for you guys. And in a second here, though, I'm going to talk about that. And wait, because I got a special treat for you guys this morning. But first, we're going to have a word about our sponsor, Built.
For the average American, our biggest monthly expenditure is our mortgage or our rent. And with over 34% of Americans who rent these days, you got to ask yourself, what do I get out of it? I'm putting money into somebody else's pocket every single time I pay rent. It sucks. It's not fun. But what if there's a way you could actually get something out of it? Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to this wonderful, wonderful company called Built. Do you know with Built, you could be earning points towards flights, vacations, fitness, hotel rooms, class. Dude, it's just all sorts of stuff. And you don't even have to check with your landlord to get started. There's no cost to join Built. And as a member, you'll earn valuable points on rent and on your everyday spending. Built points can be transferred to your favorite hotels and airlines and even the ones you haven't heard of. There's over 500 airlines and 700,000 hotels and properties around the world you can redeem your Built points toward. Points can also be redeemed towards a future rent payment and unique experience that only Built members can access. So if you're not earning points on rent, my question is, why not? Start earning points on rent you're already paying by going to joinbuilt.com/rob. That's joinbuilt.com/rob. Make sure to use our URL so they know we sent you. Joinbuilt.com/rob to start earning points on your rent payments today.
I love how some of you guys are like, oh my gosh, he's actually playing ads. Like, yo, I mean, it is what it is. And I think there's actually a lot of people out there that can benefit from it. But I told you guys I was going to have a special treat. So before we get into everything, I actually went over. I'm curious before I actually pull this up, because I did ask if I could do it. But you know what? I paid for it. I'm doing it anyway. I'm going to cut off the one part that's extremely offensive. But for those of you guys who know me and know a thing or two about me, I think you all are going to find this hilarious. Now, I do believe that everybody, and I mean everybody, should have, I don't know, some level of, like, you've got to allow yourself to get made fun of from time to time. So yesterday I actually paid like $5 or $6 whenever this lady that I've been following on X for a while and decided to support her. And I asked her to roast me because I thought it would be an amazing thing to have on this morning's episode. And I'm going to go ahead and do that. And I'm going to play for you guys right now.
Hello, Matt. You wanted a roast. So if you brought your feelings, that's your problem, not my problem. All right. Challenge accepted. Let's stalk you on the internet. Bring up Matt's profile. Okay, so you're like Bradley Cooper's retarded brother. Are you growing out your facial hair to avoid talking about the rest of your face? Normally, I don't love a man with big ears, but I do feel like in your case, it does take away from your nose. Speaking of big ears, you don't even need an alarm clock. You can just hear the sunrise every morning. Last one.
I have to pause it because the last rip that she did on me is like not safe for sharing on YouTube. I can't, but I totally forgot that I even did that yesterday. And like I opened up my freaking inbox this morning and that was sitting in there and I just died laughing. Now, Marines, where are you guys at? Somebody come get your boy. Okay. Like I don't know who approved this, but and who allowed this to happen, but Marines, jarheads, where are you at? Come get your freaking boy, man. He's embarrassing you guys, all right? That video is like going all around the internet. It's causing a heck of a lot of problems. Now, there's also an update because a lot of you guys were kind of concerned about it. Oh, that's got to be a voice changer. Yo, guys, no. Yeah, I know. That's not my tribe. That's your tribe, jarheads. Those are the crayon eaters. That's a crayon eater. Don't make me show it again. You guys go get your boy. Now, everything, and I'm going to put this up on the screen here for, so you guys remember that over here in the great state of Texas, we have, like a massive Islamic community that's being built, right? Like, and I believe it was Plano, if I remember correct. So just north of Dallas, about 30 minutes or so north of Dallas, there was like a massive Islamic community that was being built. I went over and talked about it. Turns out that they were, I don't know. I don't want to get too in depth about it, but listen, this morning as a matter, or I'm sorry, was it this morning? No, it was last night. Very, very late last night, Greg Abbott, he's the governor of Texas, he actually put this out. Greg Abbott said, the proposed Epic compound in Collin County has serious legal issues. A dozen state agencies are investigating it. The attorney general will look into it, and legislators are considering laws to restrict it, as well as laws to prevent foreign adversaries from buying land inside of Texas. So while, yeah, everybody's sitting, it's like, ah, oh, it's a takeover, it's this and it's that. I mean, he's not... entirely too wrong, in my opinion, but it is kind of a thing. Now, over inside of Gaza, it looks like Defense Minister Katz, all right, let me put this up on the screen and I'll play this for you guys for a sec. But Katz ended up coming out and he said, our main goal now is to return all of the hostages home. If Hamas continues its refusal, it will pay heavy prices in land that will be taken, operatives who will be eliminated, and infrastructure until it is destroyed.
מטרתנו העיקרית כעת היא להשיב את כל החטופים הביתה, ואם החמאס ימשיך בסרבנותו, הוא ישלם מחירים כבדים, הולכים וגוברים.
Most of you guys can't understand what he's saying, so I decided to read to you guys the translation and let you know what he was saying. Now, that's very important for a reason, because he said a couple key things in his statement. He said, to return all of the hostages home, which goes back and it echoes what Bibi Netanyahu was saying, that, hey, listen, at the end of the day, we're going to get our people back, and we're not going to stop. Now, this is important, because yesterday there was rumors that Egypt had reached some sort of a deal with Hamas and that they were going to take that over to Israel in an attempt to get another ceasefire to get more people, returned back over. And now we have Katz coming out saying, basically, no, you can kiss my butt. And like I said, there looks to be a semi-permanent infrastructure that's being built over inside of Gaza as we speak for the Israeli Defense Forces, meaning what I told you guys all the way back at the beginning of the conflict. I've been saying this forever. Israel will have an enduring presence inside of Gaza for the next 10 years. That's just going to happen. And I didn't say that, Bibi did. All right, that's where that came from. Reason they're doing it is going to be for security after they get it done. Now, this whole conflict started off, and we're going to get a little bit deeper into a sec. This whole conflict started off with right around, 40,000, 35 to 40,000 Hamas fighters that were over inside of Gaza. And right now, there's estimated to be less than 10,000 in there, but Israel's backed out. So they got a lot of fighting and stuff like that that's taking place. A lot of bombs are being dropped. A lot of people are dying. They went in and invaded a different portion of Gaza yesterday. We're going to talk about that coming up here in just a little bit. Before we get into all of that, I want to jump back over to Pete Hegseth because he did, in fact, have a statement about Signalgate. Let me go ahead and get that up on the screen. So for those of you that don't know what happened, there was a, a journalist from The Atlantic, or maybe it was their editor-in-chief. I can't remember. But either way, they got put into a Signal chat yesterday or a couple days ago, and this huge article in The Atlantic came out. I can go over and I can put, you know what, maybe I ought to do that before I give you guys Pete's response. Maybe I ought to go back and I ought to just pull that up for you guys and show you guys what I'm talking about. I talked about it last night. I understand that I was away. I had actually a lovely dinner with Grant Stinchfield last night is where I had to go. And I didn't want to tell you guys, but something even cooler is happening than that. Let me go ahead and get this up on the screen here. Trump administration accidentally texted me its war plans. This is Jeffrey Goldberg. Kind of a big deal that ended up happening. And we're going to reference this article going back and forth because Pete Hegseth actually did come out and he made a response today. All right. So did I'm going to get there in a sec. First, let's go over and let's listen to Pete's response that he gave.
Can you share how your information about war plans against the Houthis in Yemen was shared with a journalist in The Atlantic? And were those details classified?
You're talking about a deceitful and highly discredited so-called journalist who's made a profession of peddling hoaxes time and time again, to include the, I don't know, the hoaxes of Russia, 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 or the fine people on both sides hoax, or suckers and losers hoax. So this is the guy that peddles in garbage. This is what he does. I would love to comment on the Houthi campaign because of the skill and courage of our troops. I've monitored it very closely from the beginning. And you see, we've been managing 4 years of deferred maintenance under the Trump administration. Our troops, our sailors were getting shot at as targets. Our ships couldn't sail through. And when they did shoot back, it was purely defensively or at shacks in Yemen. President Trump said, no more. We will reestablish deterrence. We will open freedom of navigation, and we will ultimately decimate the Houthis, which is exactly what we're doing as we speak from the beginning, overwhelmingly.
Why were those details shared on Signal, and how did you learn that a journalist was privy to the targets, the types of weapons used?
I've heard I was characterized. Nobody was texting war plans, and that's all I have to say about that.
Right,
thank you.
I appreciate it.
Now, so there's that statement that he ended up coming out and say nobody was texting war plans. It's kind of funny. I see somebody that in the comment section was like, wait, you know, Grant, like, bro, I've been on a show. I don't even know how many times now. I love Grant Stinchfield. He's a really good guy. Him and I don't see eye to eye on a lot of different things. And truthfully, if you don't have friends, like we don't see eye to eye, let's say, on Ukraine, for example. But if you don't have friends with opposing views, you really need to get your freaking life together and back in order. Personally, that's what I think. Yeah, for those that I can't believe I'm actually talking about this right now. But yes, 100%, I do know him. Also, JFK Files, for those of you guys that do not know this, solved a rumor. There is a Green Beret that traveled back in time, and he was hired by Mossad in order to kill JFK. For those of you guys that don't know, I've got a picture of the man right here. I put him up on your screen. As you can see, it is a very, 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 very undeniable comparison to these two people, right? It's just undeniable. I am currently looking for this man. I'm trying to find him. If anybody knows who this individual is, please alert me immediately so I can get him on the show for an interview. Because, yeah, I mean, look at that. Same freaking dude, right? Same dude. Same dude. Same dude. JFK Files. Thank you. You're welcome. Solved the freaking problem for everybody, so y'all can calm down. But let's go back over to Pete here for a second, and let's talk about it in Signal chat. Now, I'm going to play this video from a Fox News interview with Senator Tom Cotton. And yeah, it's the nose for sure. Yeah, Bradley Cooper. Yeah, I'm like white trash Bradley Cooper. I've been described that once or twice. Let me get this up on the screen for you guys real quick. Because Signal being used as a form of communication, believe it or not, according to Senator Tom Cotton, was actually approved. Check this out.
Many people in the intelligence community use Signal. They have communication all the time. Is that not correct?
Lawrence, that is correct. In fact, I bet a bunch of those senators that you see at the hearing today are using Signal as well to speak to each other or to speak to their aides. And it is my understanding that the Biden administration authorized Signal as a means of communication that was consistent with presidential record keeping requirements for its administration. And that continued into the Trump administration. It's simply another messaging app like the iMessage app on your iPhone or email servers that every administration has set up in which senior administration officials can communicate with each other.
Many people.
But there's a problem here, and you guys know me. When I see bullshit, I'm going to call it, like when we start going over it, right? Oh my God, Bradley Cooper was a time traveling Green Beret. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? I mean, let's be honest. If we can find Brad to get him back, you know what I'm saying? Like I don't know if that's Bradley. I don't know. Who, like, somebody please help me out here. But yeah, hey, we're going to call BS, right? Because they said presidential record keeping and all that other crap, right? Like when you're talking about things like that, when you're having those types of discussions, particularly like electronic communications, those things in particular should be preserved. Now, I'm not trying to say one way or the other that they weren't preserved. But what I am saying is what it appears to be when I get this article up. Here we go. Let me, again, pop this up on your screen so that you guys can see it nice and clearly. And we talked about this. These little timers down here at the bottom, if you guys have Signal, these little timers tell you that those messages, see this little guy right here that I'm circling, 8:49 a.m., and then you have that little thing down there at the bottom where it looks like a ticking time clock as it goes away. Those things, those little ticking time clocks mean that those were set for auto delete, meaning they were going to get deleted. Once they're gone, they're gone. Now, I'm not saying that these conversations aren't recorded or anything like that. I'm just saying that if that was part of the deal, is that you have to keep records of official communications, it would certainly appear as if they're not being kept, at least on Signal. Now, they might be downloaded somewhere else. They might have a way of tracking all the communications on this app so that they can have it. All of those things may very well be in place, and they just don't want it on the app. I'm just saying, you know, I'm just saying, right, as we get into that. But we're going to keep going through this a little bit more as we start talking about it, because to me, that's kind of what that would signify. If the Biden administration did that and they said it's legal to be able to do that and have it like consistent with like, you know, keeping the records and all that other crap, then that's kind of a problem if they're being ground. But there is also the probability, just to let you guys know, that they very likely, this is the United States government, they very likely have the tech in order to take those messages and freaking save them, as well as everything is going through it and all that's going to go through something else. So that's a thing. And I see somebody says, seems like that's probably the case. Well, you guys are talking, be careful who you invite. That's right. Be very, very careful who you invite up over on the Signal, because those things might come out. Now, Pete Hegseth is catching a lot of crap for that out on the internet. He's being told, well, here we go. Where's the response from the Defense Department? Give me one sec here. Oh, no, it got freaking deleted. Okay, well, there's a good way for me to find that. So give me just one sec while I pull it up. So DOD did come back out. I'm trying to remember what it is, like Defense Department Rapid Response, I believe. Department of Defense, National Defense, Department of Defense, yeah, Rapid Response. I believe that's what it's called. Give me a sec here. And I'm going to pull this up for you guys, because they did put something out in conjunction with this. I believe it was like Rapid Response. And it has the official government thing. I didn't know that this was a real thing, but it's got like the little freaking thing. Oh, there we go. DOD Rapid Response. They came out. If you guys didn't know, this is an actual account. This is an actual account. It's got the silver check mark, which means it's official verified government organization, which they go put it out. And here's the thing about this, right? Is the DOD Rapid Response. Okay. So the DOD Rapid Response official government website and all that other crap from the DOD actually took what I just shared with you and put that up there, saying the SecDef had responded to the Atlantic article. You're talking about a deceitful and highly discredited so-called journalist. Now, they're not lying when they say that. That guy has been, I don't know how to say that, kind of like the center of a lot of controversy, but that's Pete's official stance. Now, Pete is on record saying that, no, we did not discuss war plans at like on this freaking app. So now it's on freaking, what do you call it? Now it's on the guy that wrote that article to be able to come out and say, yeah, no, you did, and share that information. And truthfully, this thing is going to get looked into pretty freaking hard. They better be very open about it when they go through it. Now, the problem for me is when I go and I look at that and I start talking about it is, number one, that journalist that got added to that chat, let's use common flipping sense. If I got added to that chat, one of the things I would say is, hey, dumbasses, I'm not supposed to be in here, right? Looking at it, and they go, oh, crap, and they give you the boot, right? But you would do that for national security reasons. If you're an actual patriot, if you're an actual American, in my opinion, that's what you would do. But I don't think he did that, not even in the slightest. Instead, he took those, posted it, got trying to build a name for himself, and is like going off on the government. To me, that is a national security issue, right? If something like that happened, maybe he wasn't the only one that accidentally got added to the chat. The chat should have been freaking burned and everything else. So if you're a real patriotic American and you find yourself in there, more than likely, that's what you would do, right? Yeah, pretty naive to think a journalist would say that. Laugh out loud, attack the journalist, typical. No, I'm not attacking the journalist. I'm just stating facts. It is a fact. If they screwed something up that bad, if I screwed something up like that in my life, I would expect somebody to correct me, especially if I was concerned with national security. We're talking about national security plans. We're talking about the United States government and all of that other crap. Yeah, you can, like, it is very possible that this entire thing didn't freaking happen. Totally agree. And I just pointed out one of the big things. I'm not saying that they did it, but I'm saying if it's actually an official government thing, and this is the other issue that I ended up having when it comes down to this, he could have truthfully been screwed. Somebody could have been screwing with him and put all of this crap together in a chat and like set it up with their names that way, thrown pictures on there and everything else, and the VP and all this other crap, and they're talking about freeloading. Yeah, if he's lying, he's going to have a lot to freaking answer for. And one of the things that I look at the most, okay, one of the things that I look at the most on this goes down to this little guy right here, right? We're talking about the presidential record keeping and all that other crap. If this little freaking icon's turned on and it's set to self-deleting, then that wouldn't be in line with what we just heard from Tom Cotton. Now, would it? It wouldn't. They'd be grinding messages, and I don't think they'd be keeping them. The other, yeah, he assumed it was fake till the bomb started dropping. Now, the other deal is that the White House had already came out, all right? So to get this, let me see. I put it up somewhere over here. The White House had already came out and validated. There was already words from the Defense Department that some of those like messages were valid and that all of those were actual mistakes as they ended up going through. So it is. Yeah, bro. Pete Hegseth doesn't text like that. He's the Lord of Sussex. Oh, my God. Oh, dude, it's so freaking infuriating. All right. So that's the thing. We're going to wait for some more information to come out, and I'll keep an eyeball on it for this week. We're not going to dive into freaking Signalgate any further until all of this stuff ends up coming out. But Israel, that I just saw a huge word of it. So we're going to jump up over to the map real quick so I can like actually talk you guys through this because I think it's kind of important. Let me get this up here for you guys. Israel did, in fact, go in and start attacking over inside southern Syria. Now, last week, we ended up getting a warning from the Israeli Defense Department that was saying, I can't remember if it was the Israeli Defense Department or it was Bibi that actually ended up coming out and saying it. And they said, you know, Israel reserves its right to basically defend itself. And they're going to do that. And they're particularly concerned with the Golan Heights right now and people that are going into the Golan Heights or trying to attack the Golan Heights, getting ready to do it, going back over there, because they actually had some of the Druze actually move into the Golan Heights. The Druze have been working with the Israeli Defense Force to kind of deal with HTS and the little terrorist bastards up over in Damascus. And so Israel's willing to push all the way up over there in order to do it. Now, last week, we heard the Israeli government come out and say, look, we're prepared to go in there and whoop your butt and defend ourselves if the need arises. And it's very clear that the need arose because we ended up having, all right, we ended up having a lot of chatter going over about Israeli airstrikes that started to take place. Okay. A lot of Israeli airstrikes that started taking place over inside of Syria, targeting particular things. Then we end up getting a release from Israel. That said, troops of the 210th Division remain deployed in the area in order to protect the civilians or the citizens of the state of Israel, particularly inside of the Golan Heights. Troops from the Paratroopers Brigade Combat Team, along with soldiers from the Yahalom Unit, operated in several locations following intelligence indications and located numerous weapons, including explosives, ammunition, mortar shells, military vests, combat equipment, munitions, bullets, and all of them that were confiscated and dismantled. And all of this took place over inside of Syria. You guys see this up on your screen. These are ones that ended up coming out. So these are them operating up over inside of Syria and doing the Lord's work, taking terrorists off the frickin' planet. So, yep, pretty happy that this actually ended up occurring. So they went over, they conducted these raids, and they were able to get stuff. Now, I started looking at some of the photographs and things like that. Hold on. Now, that's a lot of ammunition crates, and I'm going to have to go through and start pouring through some of this stuff. Obviously, the IRGC was operating over inside of Syria for a long time alongside Hezbollah, and some of these munitions are likely captured by them. But we also know that Russian Spetsnaz were operating over there as well for quite a long period of time, probably around like a decade or so that I'm aware of that they were over inside of Syria. They even rumored to have their poo-poo pushed in along with Wagner when they ended up attacking U.S. forces, right? So we know that Russia had been operating in Syria. And let's start taking a look. And I'm just throwing that out there so that you guys can take a look at some of these weapons that are about to be popping up on the screen. Those are some really interesting mines on the ground over there, aren't they, ladies and gentlemen? Wait, where did they go? Where'd they go? Those are some pretty interesting mines that are laying on the ground. You guys see those? You guys like those? Look at those anti-tank mines. Now, what country do I know that uses those particular types of anti-tank mines? I'm not sure. Let's take a look at some of these other munitions that are over on the ground. Obviously, there's some older anti-tank mines. Those look like they have been, you know, thrown down and then dug back up again and going back through. All of these. Send all of these seized weapons to Ukraine. You're dang right. Holy beep beep, Batman. And so, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm telling you, and I'm talking to you guys about what is taking place overseas, particularly inside of Syria, over inside of Iran, what's taking place over inside of Yemen, and so on and so forth. You better believe that a lot of this stuff is connected, whether you know it or not, or whether you like it or not. Thank you for the great work, and keep it up. That's coming from Husky Ninja Fishing, of course, man. And we're gonna, I'm gonna open up the Discord here as well, because you know, there's people on Discord, maybe they didn't know I went live, but I'm gonna go ahead and open up the Discord, because we're gonna talk about this in a minute. So if you guys want, you guys want to have a chitty chat, you can go over the Discord. We're gonna be having a discussion here in just a little bit. All right. Yeah. So also, that ended up coming out that right around the same time that Israel ended up releasing that information was things like this and posts like this, which were Syrian jihadists opened fire towards Israeli forces in southern Syria, and they were eliminated. IDF is now striking their terror bases. And we ended up getting like the name of that city. I think I lost it in there for which one they're talking about. The reason I didn't put it in the stack is because there's dead bodies, right? Like in that post. And I can't put that crap on YouTube. But there's dead bodies like over inside the post. So confirmed, Israel is over there and they're killing a lot of people over inside of Syria, because they're going after these villagers that were stacking weapons and equipment that wanted to go in and start killing people in the Golan Heights. So Israel is doing what it said it was going to do. So it's invading some of the, or, you know, raiding. It's not invading. It's raiding some of these villages in self-defense in order to take these little terrorist freaking nut jobs out. Bombs again were dropping up over in there, and people are whining and complaining about it, trying to claim that's a problem. Now, you just heard that guy talking about explosive vests and everything else. But here you go. Here is, oh, I did have one of them. Yep, this is in the village of Kuya, Kuya. Let's go ahead and pull that up and get that on the map for you guys, so you can see where all of this crap is taking. Oh no, hold on, let's do that again. Boom. All right. So we've got Syria and we've got Kuya. It's probably not going to pop up, but it's a tiny little village. I haven't been able to identify it on the map yet. Maybe I'm doing a little bit like wrong here. But Kuya over inside of Syria, K-U-Y-A. I'll have to do a little bit more research and find it, but it's likely up over in this region, right over by the Golan Heights. And I'm sure if we went in there, maybe we'd be able to find it. Kwanda, everything else. So it's right up over here in this general vicinity is where they ended up doing it. But we know there's a lot of HTS and everything operating up in the northern vicinity as well. We got the buffer zone up there and all that other crap, whatever. So somewhere over here, there's some freaking peon village that Israel went in and decided that it was going to take care of because they were attacking everybody. So that's the one. And if you guys want to see videos of the place being the actual place itself, here you go. Here's the place. Those don't look like bombs to me. Those look like mortars. As a matter of fact, that distinct sound that you hear where it's going, like those are mortar shells that are being like fired upon the village. So I don't even think like while they're saying it's being bombed, it definitely doesn't appear like this village is being bombed at all. And if anything, it looks like there's mortars that are following and people don't know the difference. Let's hear that one more time. And for you combat vets that are in there, yeah, we'll talk about it. John Wilson says, did you hear about the U.S. attorney who was found dead in her home? She was in charge of some of the biggest cases covering CIA peaks and Russian nationals carrying out fraud in the U.S. Yes, I did in fact see that. Yes, I did in fact see that. I believe I also talked about a little while ago worrying about U.S. officials getting schwacked over here in the United States of America. Yeah. That's not a plane, that's a mortar strike. That's what that is, all right? And you might think that there is. There could be a drone overhead and everything else, but I want you to watch right where this mortar ends up landing too. You end up seeing people moving. See him moving? Look at him moving. Look at him running. That guy's carrying some crap. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's not a mortar strike, but if you're a combat vet yourself, let me know. Yeah, she probably died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the ear. We're going to figure this out, and they're going to rule it as like a, I don't know, Two gunshot wounds to the back of the head, and really it was in her ear, and she probably hung herself at the same time. and she was being watched by the Secret Service. I have no idea, ladies and gentlemen. We got to wait for all that stuff to come out. I'm sure they're going to release it, and there'll be an open investigation looking into it. Now, interesting enough as well, as we start talking around the world, and we're, you know what? Before we get into more Russia stuff, I also want to mention and bring up that Yemen has been getting the crap bombed out of it. The absolute dog piss bombed out of it lately, ever since they launched those ballistic missiles, and we're not going to stop doing it. We're just going to keep it up. But interesting enough, an ammunition plant in Borosnia in the Czech Republic that facilitates making and shipping artillery shells to Ukraine ended up having a little bit of a problem. There was a large explosion inside of the plant today. Odd, because I seem to remember all of this stuff taking place last year as well over here in the United States. As a matter of fact, let me just go ahead and open that up. I'll just grab it for you, because some people don't realize that this stuff is taking place. We're going to go to the Scranton, PA ammo plant fire. And because I feel like bringing this up, and here you guys go, small fire damages Scranton Army ammunition plant. All right, all of that took place. This ended up taking place like last year. And I don't think it was September, even though it's labeled as September on here. That might be like an update, but I don't remember it taking place in September. There was actual like a much, much bigger one that was taking place over there. All of this stuff in conjunction with some over in the UK, along with some other sabotage and everything else that was taking place last year, kind of makes you wonder, right? And 100%, it makes me wonder whether or not Russia is involved in sabotage operations over here in the United States of America, taking out some of our like key facilities and everything else. And then we saw them like go up over into the UK as well. So very suspicious as far as that goes. Now, word did come out not that long ago, all right, that the, let me see if I can get the official statement up here from what Russia said about what Russia had said. Where'd it go? Why do I not have this up? There's that one. Bam. Let me get this up here. Oh, it doesn't exist. They deleted it. So I ended up seeing they did. That's what they took down. I ended up seeing that Russia had came out, and now I've got to go look for the actual freaking source, and we're going to talk about that here in a minute, and maybe when I get on the Discord, some of you guys are going to know where that's located at. But Russia had actually said that they are basically pretty far away from a freaking peace deal with Ukraine, and that if there's going to be another peace deal involved, if it's going to take place, that they're going to have to bring in the UN in order to make that happen. And so if that's the case, again, allegedly, that's what I read, that's what got leaked, whatever. If that's the case, Russia has zero, and I mean zero freaking confidence in like a peace deal whatsoever. I like, truthfully, I can't freaking believe it. And then, yeah, I just got a freaking like, dude, here's something else that like ticked me off this morning, like that I had to go read into. This guy's name is Pat Ryan. All right, before I move on with the show a little bit more, this guy's name is Pat Ryan. Pat Ryan is a congressman over inside of New York. I can't remember what district it is, but he ends up coming out and say, I served two combat tours in Iraq as an Army intelligence officer. Good for you, Pat. If I did what SecDef did, I'd be in prison. If he did what SecDef did, he would be in prison. All eyes should now be on Cash Patel. Beyond pure corruption, I can't think of a single reason for him not to launch an investigation ASAP. So now saying that he is the one that did it. So I made sure to respond to this knucklehead. And I said, I guess they don't teach reading comprehension at West Point anymore. You're a congressman. No wonder our government is so screwed up. And then I quoted directly out of that article. On Tuesday, March 11th, I received a connection request on Signal from a user identified as Michael Waltz. So if there is any sort of leak whatsoever, and anybody needs to be investigated as to what went wrong, if it's an official line of communication and all of that other crap is coming out, well, then I would guess it would be Mike Waltz that needs to get looked into. Don't you? That's what I think, if we're going to do this. But we have congressmen, West Point grads, Army intel officers, and freaking, like, dude, saying this crap. Over 1 million people read his bullshit on who needs to get investigated about this stuff, and it just blows my flipping mind. Reading comprehension, ladies and gentlemen, is absolutely a thing. I'm going to go over and I'm going to open up you're able to actually have a discussion. If you guys ever want to come on the show, if you want to talk about something, if you have questions, that's what this discussion is for. And I'm very curious to hear what people are thinking. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to bring up C88 right now. He wants to jump in. Turn my video on so everybody at home can see me. C, what's up, buddy? And Texas, what's up, bro?
Oh, hello. Sorry, I'm on my phone. I didn't even realize that I jumped in here. I just opened it up. How are you today?
I'm doing well, man. You're allegedly pissing off a lot of people in the Discord server. I'm not sure what's taking place, but I got some messages about it. So now I have to go back through and look. But you do a good job as far as I'm concerned. Now I got to go look and see what everybody's complaining about.
If I'm not pissing off people in the Discord server, it means I'm not doing my job.
Yeah, that's actually true.
But if I'm pissing off people because they get upset when they try to do other, they try to do moderator, we call them mini mods, where they try to boss people mm-hmm. they can and can't do without being involved or being it's being their job to do so, and me telling them that it's not their job to do it and they get upset about it, then I'm really, really sorry for those people, but they should start looking for a Discord where they can do kinds of stuff like that, where
that's
it's
fair.
Okay to do stuff
that's
like that.
Fair.
Everything that I do in Discord is according to the guidelines right. and the rules that the staff
that
and the admins
have established
have
and that everybody goes to. Yeah, I know. And then I have to go
simple.
And I have to pee in people's Cheerios and be like, I'm sorry you got kicked out, but stop spewing Russian propaganda.
Oh, it's nobody
see,
got kicked out. It was
it's okay.
Somebody,
Texas, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay, Texas. It's okay. C88, what you got going on, buddy? Love you, Texas. I do. C, what you got going on, buddy?
So what is your opinion for the Middle East on this subject about just reinforcing and backing the Kurds up across the board for the whole region, the whole idea of Kurdistan?
What? Hold on. I'm having trouble hearing you, brother. Let me throw in my AirPods, my other one, so I can hear you correctly. What is my opinion about reinforcements in Kurdistan? Did I hear you correctly?
Yeah, actually backing up the Kurds and actually creating Kurdistan to stabilize the region.
Yeah, so... I think it's a very good thing. I've personally worked with Kurds over in Iraq. Actually got, I don't want to say chewed out for it, but we got chewed out for it when we were over inside of Iraq, because the Kurds are not an official government and they want their own little independent area up there in the north. And so the U.S. government needs to make sure that they're directly in line. And we've been pooping on the Kurds for a very long time. And every time something goes down over there, you know, we end up always leaning on the Kurds. Right. We always end up leaning on the Kurds to do stuff. Turkey, another NATO ally of ours, allegedly views a portion of the Kurds as a terrorist element. They've been bombing the crap out of them. Let me pull up the map because a lot of people might not understand what we're talking about, where we're talking about.
I know about the Turkish side with the PKK. And then obviously I was also in Iraq with you. So I know worked a little bit with the Kurds as well.
Oh, right. So I'm sorry. You said you were an Iraqi?
No, I was in Iraq with you. Remember I was saying that I worked with 10th group when I was there in 08, 09. I worked for CJ Sotov.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, here we are up in the north, right? And you mentioned the PKK. That's who Turkey believes is a frickin' like terror state, right? Or like terrorist entity. And there was a shooting that took place over inside Turkey and everything else. And U.S. government, as a matter of fact, if I remember right, trying to remember the year that we actually did this, when ISIS kind of like took over and you had those GBs that were on TV that had actually haloed in to go get an assessment on the ground and figure out that we need to back these people. Those were all the Kurds that were up there on the mountain in the north, right? And so we went over and we backed them when it was beneficial, and we've been using them when it's beneficial to us, you know, partnering with them to go over and defeat ISIS and do all sorts of other freaking crap. So in Matt's opinion, to answer your question, Matt's opinion, absolutely, we need to be backing the Kurds. We need to make sure that we're taking care of them and doing everything correctly. That's my opinion. As far as the U.S. government's concerned, when it comes down to that, if the Kurds are enemies of a NATO ally, then all of a sudden it becomes kind of an issue, right? There was a bombing that took place up over here last year, up over in like northeastern Syria. There was a freaking Turkish drone that had been loitering over the area. And what allegedly happened was a bomb got dropped on like this little resupply location, what like the back channels were saying. It was like that area was like a resupply location that like U.S. and Kurdish forces would use intermittently and everything else, right? And the Turks had actually bombed it. And I got scared because I'm like, if they screw up and they kill U.S. operators that are operating up over inside of freaking, you know, like northeastern Syria, it's going to be a problem because they're going after Daesh, right? And then Turkey was up over here in the mountains bombing the crap out of the Kurds for a while, like following that. And then we had that shooting that took place up over in Turkey and everything kind of seemed to go away, right? It's kind of weird the way all of that happened. But Turkey also... Here's the other issue that I see happening with this. You remember when HTS actually like overthrew Assad? Assad jumps on the plane and he runs off over to Russia. You remember that?
Right.
Right. So then we had Turkey actually coming in to the north. I remember reporting on this, and it was like right north. I believe it was like north of Aleppo where they came in. But then they started working along the border, and I believe it was actually in this region right here, just north of Raqqa. and they started pushing out into the east, and it was like, okay, now the Turks are going to come after, and they're going to start killing Kurds, they're going to release ISIS fighters and all this other crap. Everybody said that we were full of crap. Everybody said that, why would Turkey do that? What's the whole freaking point? To me, the point is to reestablish a Sunni Islamic caliphate. That's the point to me. If people don't understand the religious conflict and the religious war and the background of al-Jolani and the background of al-Baghdadi, and all of this crap that they're trying to do, it's to establish a Sunni Islamic caliphate. Now, Baghdadi's dead. ISIS is kind of under the table. These days, they've been kind of written off by everybody. But now you've got Jolani that's able to come back in, and the rumors of the Turkish forces going over and pushing east and liberating some of those freaking ISIS prison camps and also going after the Kurds, that's a freaking problem. So in my opinion, this is a prime time for the United States government to actually put its money where its mouth is and start defending the Kurds. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah, because I also remember that the only reason why the Turks were held at bay at all before now was because they had the joint outpost between the Kurds and Assad's forces, creating a buffer zone. So
right.
Turkey wouldn't attack Assad's forces.
Right. Correct. Yeah. Supposedly. Right. Somebody just said, so the ceasefire talks in Riyadh stalled or what? Yeah, no, the ceasefire talks, allegedly, from what I read this morning, and I'll have to go look it up. This is for Plin Plin Plon over on YouTube. Yeah, the ceasefire talks allegedly were stalled, and allegedly a statement by Russia was made, words to the effect of they are far off from reaching an agreement, and that if they are going to have one, the UN needs to be involved in it. But then also kind of confusing, as Russia always is, that they might reach one. We might hear more by the end of the day. So there's that. Yep. I don't know, man. Texas, did you hear anything about the ceasefire talk that I might have missed? Or anybody up here?
No, I didn't. I just saw what was public, basically that the conversations were concluded or discussions were concluded for the time being.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really heard anything about that. But whatever is going on over there, nothing, not like one thing would be surprising to anybody that knows anything about how Russia operates. Nothing was going to come out of the first few meetings.
Right.
They said they agreed to a ceasefire on infrastructure, and 2 hours later, or technically while that was still happening, they fired at power plants. And then they claimed that they hit a military base.
Right.
It's like a big power plant on video, and they're like, oh, we hit a military base.
Right.
So, people, I mean, yeah.
People are saying that, well, Russia is not, you know, going to respond, so what's the point of doing it? And I go back and I let you guys know the same reason that the U.S. was negotiating with Hamas and everything else beforehand, because we are going to try diplomatic efforts first before we start dropping bombs. And especially when you talk about a nation like Russia, in my opinion, the United States is going to do everything that it needs to do to try to avoid it. But the inevitable is the inevitable. I said this morning that I think negotiating with Russia is about the equivalent of negotiating with Hamas. Right. They will tell you something to your face. They will stall. They will do all sorts of crap. They will tell Trump to his face they're not going to attack infrastructure and then launch a massive freaking drone strike along with cruise missiles. It's a freaking problem. Right. And we're answering back. Now, what was the name of the guy that went over to Afghanistan? Everybody's pissed off about talking to the Haqqanis. Do you remember?
Hinkle?
No, Jackson. Not Jackson. No, it was a U.S. rep. Yeah, I forget his name. Whatever. I can go back and I can find it. It's not a problem. Either way, the United States sent representatives over into Afghanistan and had been removed the bounties from some of these guys' head, just like Biden did on Jelani. Now, the reason that we ended up removing the bounties on their head is because legally, by U.S. law, we're not allowed to talk to these people as long as those bounties are there, right? As long as we want to kill them, we're not supposed to be talking to them. Right. So that bounty ends up getting removed so that they can go and talk to him. And there's nothing that says we might put that bounty back on his head and we might go back and kill him. Right. Or we might take care of it. But in my opinion, these are all strategic moves when we start talking about going after Russia. And this is when I said, you know, kind of like wait to see what happens and wait how all this stuff plays out. I said that stuff for a reason. So if you go and you start thinking about it, you have all of these people that have been kind of like backing up the Russian war effort to make that happen. Right. We're getting munitions and stuff like that that are coming in from the DPRK. DPRK was providing, you know, ballistic missiles and shit like that over to Iran. Then we have Iran providing, obviously, a lot of drones and power up over to Russia as well. They even, I believe it was last year, if it wasn't last year, it was definitely the year prior, where Iran had basically approved having some of the Shahed drones made over inside of Russia, and then Ukraine ended up bombing the facility where they were making them and all this other crap. Russia supplying the S-400s and everything to them. But the big thing is China, right? Because due to all of the sanctions and everything else right now, because of all the sanctions and everything else right now that were taking place, you know, Russia is not able to get like certain parts, equipment and things like that for all their like piece of crap tanks that are being destroyed. And so they're getting like ball bearings, material support, selling a lot of oil and shit like that up over to China in order to keep the freaking war effort moving forward. Well, China, the day after the United States left Afghanistan, and I mean the day after, ended up flying into Kabul and recognizing, they were the first ones to recognize the Taliban as like the official government of Afghanistan after the United States pulled out. Now, why, oh, why would China do that? Because all the way up here, you have a bunch of freaking rare earth materials, the same crap that Trump's talking about up over inside of Ukraine, right? Only China's got a buttload of it up over inside of Afghanistan, and they've been mining it, and they're going after it, and they know that. And so my feeling, because we don't know the details of what was actually discussed, and even if we were told they discussed certain things, what we don't know is what they were discussing over inside of Afghanistan yesterday, right? Even if we think we do, we probably don't. And my thoughts and feelings on this, knowing China and knowing Afghanistan and knowing all of that crap, is that they were likely going after there to try to get China out of those damn mines, to stop them and hurt them financially. Because as we speak, China is still busy screwing around over in, what is it, Taiwan? Yeah, they're still screwing with Taiwan, right? Yeah, they're still they're screwing with it. And so China is acting up. DPRK obviously has been acting up over in like North Korea and supplying all these things. So we're going after their supply chains. Us going after Iran, right, is step number one. And I got a feeling we're gonna end up bombing Iran sometime soon, or Israel is gonna end up bombing Iran, right, in order to start hitting those chains. It helps out Israel, but it also helps out Ukraine. Us going into Afghanistan, we saw Shoigu went into Afghanistan last year, correct? Texas? Wasn't it Shoigu that went to Afghanistan?
Right. Yeah, and Shoigu was this week he was in North Korea again.
Yeah, there you go. So Shoigu was over in Afghanistan last year. A couple months ago, he was over in Afghanistan meeting with the Taliban. And everybody's like, why the hell would the U.S. government be in there? Why the hell would we be doing that? This is Trump meeting with the enemies and everything else. No, think like one or two steps deeper, be a little bit of a critical thinker. We're actually taking steps and putting steps in place, going after Russia's supply lines and the people that are funding Russia, right? And we've also, remember, we also took that $3.3 billion or whatever it was, that, or $3.5 billion that we ended up seizing from the Taliban, putting that in a freaking Swiss bank account to release funds slowly over time, like, you know, millions of dollars every month going back over to them. So it was money that we ended up seizing. Then we ended up funding like 30% of this UN fund for humanitarian relief efforts and all this other crap to go to the Afghan people and help them out. So we've got a lot of leverage over these people, believe it or not. Whether or not, you know, people want to see that, people want to understand that, we have a lot of leverage over the Taliban, and we still have a lot of leverage over people like the Haqqani Network, right? The fact that we went down and actually shook hands and met them face to face, they wouldn't agree to do that unless there was something in for it. And what's likely going to happen is you're going to have a lot of people that are going to come out and they're going to be like, oh, look, now the Trump administration is dealing with the Taliban. Yeah, but why? Why? Right? We're going after their dang supply networks, in Matt's opinion, and it makes freaking sense. And when I say theirs, I'm talking about Russia's. Because the moment Russia loses all of that material support from countries like China, from countries like Iran, from countries like the DPRK, they're screwed. They're going to have to start crowdfunding their own shit again, right? Shoigu's going to be a busy man going around shaking hands. And that means that more Russians are going to die on the front line and everything else. But it's my opinion that a lot of this slander that's taking place going out, and I've started to attack it, like pretty freaking hard. I was over in like Twitter spaces yesterday just going off about this because people are trying to act like the Trump administration doesn't have, you know, like Ukraine's best efforts at heart. In reality, we're doing a bunch of shit that's pissing Putin off. And you can tell we're pissing Putin off because when Trump and Putin had that discussion, Putin agreed and then turned around and attacked Ukraine, right? So we're pissing them off. When Russia came out and asked us not to attack Yemen, they did that for a reason. I was having a discussion. I love, you know what? I'm going to throw this out there. All right. I was, talking with Nate Vance yesterday, right? And I'm not sitting here trying to disclose this discussion, but he brought up a very, very valid point, All right. When it came down to the Red Sea and why we're doing what we're doing over inside of the Red Sea, even if we go back to that article and we reference it, right, the reason for it, if this is actually true and accurate, they're talking about like POTUS directive is to basically reopen the shipping lanes over inside the Red Sea. Right. Why would we do that? Why would that be a priority? Thinking about Russia, thinking about Iran, thinking about the conflict and everything else. Why would we do that? Anybody on the panel?
Why would we open the Red Sea?
Why would that help Ukraine, what do you mean? Opening the Red Sea?
Well, that means that economically speaking, one, everybody has a lot more cash. Two, you can get fuel and ammunition and everything else moved a lot faster, too.
Yeah, and who do you think is being allowed to ship things through the Red Sea right now that's not being attacked by the Houthis that supports Russia? I'll give you a hint.
Iran.
That country right there. Right. So because they're the ones that are supplying the Houthis, they're also like allowed to send things through the frickin' Red Sea. They're not going to get targeted by the Houthis. They don't have to worry about it. Meanwhile, everybody else that supports Ukraine and so on and so forth has to take this big, long trip all the way around. Right. Their oil, their freaking supplies, all of this crap is going to come right through there. And then once they get it through there, where are they at? They're in the Med. Then where do they go?
Yep.
Up to the Black Sea. Right. So we are essentially opening this shipping lane back up, if you really think about it. You got to think a couple layers deep about how this goes. Why would Russia not want us to do that? Right? And so, again, people aren't using their brains. And when you use your brain and you actually look at it, all of a sudden it becomes very, very clear. We're going after all of their supply chains and we're helping out Ukraine at the exact same time. And because of the way Russia set the shit up, working with Iran and everything else, it becomes very easy now to target these people in order to go after them, right? We can target the terrorists in Yemen and support Ukraine at the same time. It's wild just by opening up the freaking the Red Sea. Texas, you ready for this?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm looking at the map. It's also like if you look at it, even the stuff that's coming out of Ukraine, because Ukraine still has Ukraine is one of the largest wheat exporters.
Correct.
So some of the stuff that's coming out of Ukraine is going through the Black Sea, moving around over there by Turkey, and if you look over there, if they can come through the Istanbul over there, they can come out into the Mediterranean, which they have to. Now, if they don't have the option to go through the Suez and go through the Red Sea into the Gulf of Aden, they have to go around Africa. That right. Automatically creates, first off, almost a month longer on every shipping and insane amount of cost of actually moving that grain or wheat or whatever they're moving.
Correct.
To wherever they're moving it. Like even to Africa, it's like Ukraine is one of the largest exporters of grain to Sudan, Ethiopia, and imagine you can't have that route and you have to go all the way around. You're adding literally three times the trip just to get there when you have a canal to go through.
I mean, let's just use some common sense here, right? Like we have the ability to measure this out. Measure distance, point A to point B, and this is really rough as we go through it, and we start talking about this crap, and let's go generally speaking to Odessa. You're looking at 1,300 kilometers, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll move my marker wherever. Suez Canal is what? Like right about there? So 1,400 kilometers, we'll call it. Now, let's do this the opposite way, and let's just go ahead and move this marker, all right? And let's look, and let's add, oh, dang it. Now it's going to make me clear. Let's just move this marker and let's start measuring distance because it is a buttload. Measure distance between point A, point B, and we're just going to do this really rough to get a general idea of how far we're actually talking, what it ends up adding. We're already at 2,700 as we start going around, right? We start working our way down and around. And this is general estimate, just so you guys understand how significant of a change this is, right? Just to get it back over to this other side. That's 13,500 kilometers. So you go from 1,400 to 13,000. It's like 10x the distance by shutting down the Red Sea. That means it's going to take 10 times longer. It's going to add 10 times more freaking shipping costs, 10 times more crew, all of that crap. I need to come over here and start giving hugs to people because BBG came in and gifted out 5 Speak the Truth memberships. John Wilson just dropped 20. Kyler Cox says Phil DeFranco posted a short saying Russia and Belarus were building up troops on the Lithuanian border. Can you confirm if this is true or is just misinfo? I did see about that, about them building up, and they were saying it was for military exercises, and that I believe it was 100,000 troops that Russia had put in there. I'm not sure Russia has 100,000 troops in order to spare, to be perfectly honest with you. I feel like they're a little bit busy right now. But it wouldn't surprise me if they did have a certain number of troops that were over there conducting exercises, and it makes sense why Lithuania would be backing out. For those that didn't know, Lithuania, Latvia, I think those were the only two. It was Lithuania and Latvia. I could be wrong. Could be Estonia. But either way, they are now backing out of like the demining act or something. Like the U.S. never signed on to that bullshit because we like our landmines here in the United States of America. We just don't use them enough, right? But they ended up backing out of it. And the rumor is now they're mining all of their borders because they're worried about Russia invading. That's not something new that they have been dealing with, right? Like they've been dealing with that for a very long period of time. Every single freaking country over there in the Eastern Bloc is always worried about Russia invading. It's like one of the things that they do. I was really blessed to be able to work with some of those freaking countries in my heyday, we'll say. And we would talk and they would tell us stories about what they would have to do in order to shut some of these borders down, right? In order to make it happen. So for those that are unaware of the conversation and that question that just got asked, we're talking about Ukraine and we're talking about Russian troops that are being built up in Belarus. And it's Lithuania and Latvia that are very concerned about it. But like I said, Estonia as well. I was right. Estonia, they all are worried about these freaking borders that they end up sharing, right? So Lithuania is concerned because Russian troops are in Belarus. Obviously, Russian soldiers launched their freaking invasion of Ukraine, second or third, depending on how you want to look at it, invasion of Ukraine in the last freaking decade by, you know, using Belarus as a launching point. But they also had 200,000 troops that were stacked up on the Ukrainian border out over in the east before they ended up invading. And what'd they say it was, Texas? What'd they say they were doing? You remember this?
Military exercise.
Military exercises, right? And what are they saying they're doing in Belarus?
Military exercises.
So Lithuania and Latvia, Estonia, they've all got reasons to freaking worry. Poland, whatever. Try them. See what happens, right? But also the other crazy part about this is you're talking about NATO countries. NATO countries. There's a big difference between Russia going after a NATO country. Now, if Trump is doing what I think he's doing, we have all of our assets. Like NATO ended up putting in a bunch of people. We ended up moving a bunch of them lately all the way down through here. I remember showing, like I put a whole map together on this about where NATO was built up all the way around Ukraine. Like it was insane, the amount of like forces, but we put a bunch of them down in Poland as well, right? So if that is true, like let's play this out just one step. If that is true, that's what Russia is doing, then we're gonna be talking about going up to Lithuania. Now that is a bit of a problem because we don't have that large of a NATO presence up there as far as I know. Can we get there really quick? Hell yeah, we can, right? We can get there really, really quick. But the bulk of our freaking presence is all like stacked up around Ukraine from landmass. So if Russia is actually going to make a strategic move and try to draw NATO into a war, that's one hell of a place to do it. Right? That's one hell of a place to do it. So that's my thought process on it, is I wouldn't rule it out because Putin is freaking crazy. Nobody thought Putin was going to invade Ukraine, regardless of us standing there yelling at the top of our lungs that Putin's going to do it. So when we get more intel on this, yeah, I'll definitely start covering that more, because it wouldn't surprise me with us going after these supply chains like that and Putin about to get embarrassed in front of the international community just by us knocking out his supply chains without really having to fire a shot and just supplying Ukraine with actual support like the Biden administration was supposed to be doing this entire time. Biden could have been doing all of this crap and he didn't. That's the bottom line. And so that's where I get so pissed off and that's where I get so heated about this, is Biden could have been doing the exact same things that we've been talking about this entire time, but he didn't. He allowed Iran to shut down the freaking Red Sea. Why? Benefits freaking Russia. Benefits them. They get to go wage their jihad. Enemy of my enemy is my freaking friend, so on and so forth. Yeah. Mutual beneficial. Allowed him to source shit from Afghanistan. Allowed China to source things from Afghanistan. Allowed freaking the DPRK to sign a security partnership with freaking Russia and send all those damn munitions over there and North Korean troops to go die. So it's my opinion that how do I want to say this? That Putin is well aware of all of the things that we just talked about up over on this map, of all the strategic significance of what we've been doing in order to affect the Russian supply line, right? Going into Ukraine and supporting Israel as well. All at the same time. You can do two things at the same time, and you don't even have to freaking target Russia directly, and you can support Israel wiping out freaking jihadists. Amazing how that works when you use your head. I told you guys, Trump is really, really good at listening to his advisors. He doesn't know everything. He didn't know shit about Ukraine. He actually thought he could end that war really quick. Cool. But at least he's smart enough to actually realize what's taking place, listen to everybody that's providing with information, and start going after them, which is something that Biden didn't do, and that is indisputable. So that's my opinion on that. Jake wants to tell everybody good morning. Seth says thank you to all of our supporters keeping those streams flowing. Thank you to all the fellow mods helping to keep the Discord flowing smoothly. Yeah, like the mods, you guys are like the unsung heroes, in my opinion. So greatly appreciate all of you guys that are over there doing those things.
Matt, I don't know if you've seen today. This just came out. I see it's 34 minutes ago article. Massive explosion. Okay, at the ammunition factory in Czech Republic. Czech. Yep. I don't know if you touched on that.
Yeah, I did a little bit. I did it really quick. So you got, again, dude, I talked about it last year, the Scranton ammo plant having like issues inside of it. There was like a fire taking place. And then I just looked and there's another one in September where like an explosion took place. And then we had one in the UK and I think Germany had explosives planted outside them. You got FSB dudes being arrested over inside Poland, right?
Yep.
There was the dude that got like blew himself up at a hotel in France a couple months ago who had a Ukrainian passport, right? And all of these people, when they see things like that, they're like, oh my God, Ukraine did this shit. All right. The pipeline, for example, right? Germany put out the warrant for the dude that they're claiming is the one that took out the pipeline. Remember that? And he's got a Ukrainian passport, or they said he's a Ukrainian citizen, all that crap. What people don't understand, and this is people that don't understand the Eastern freaking bloc countries. They don't understand the USSR. They don't understand Russian influence. They don't understand why Ukraine's pissed off. Is all of these people, FSB is all over Ukraine to this day. Would you agree? Everywhere.
I mean, they changed the names from FSB to GRU to whatever they do, but it's still the same thing. It's still the same international operations that the Russians are running.
For all that matters. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, they change.
Those idiots are running around over there. And when we talk about this guy having a Ukrainian passport and blowing up the freaking pipeline and all that other bullshit, that works to Russia's benefit. Because what ends up happening is the FSB would go and they pay this freaking dude off and have him go take care of business that way. And then when stuff like this comes out, then all of a sudden it's a Ukrainian that took it out. And that's what people over inside Europe, that's what people inside of America hear, because they don't understand the way Russia operates. Period.
Yep. I mean, Russia did blow up in 2014, and it was proven with evidence that they blew up a shell factory in 2014 right after the invasion of Crimea. Right. And right. When small European countries or some European countries kind of came to the aid of Ukraine, and immediately after that, following after that, they blew up a ammunition factory as well,
right,
in Europe. And it was proven to be GRU agents and all that. Right. And then you have that story. How long ago was that? Where that a former U.S. Special Forces operator came out of his house, and somebody was supposed to be working on power lines and didn't have tools or didn't look like a guy that was working on power lines. And then he had a weapon on him. He ended up he killed a guy.
Yeah.
And it turns out he was a Belarusian or somewhere background. Correct. With no history of how he got into the United States.
I think they were from Czech. Like the Czech Republic, if I remember it.
No, it was definitely a Eastern European. Like, okay. It was Russia or Belarus, one of these.
Okay. So, exactly.
It was definitely one of those countries.
Exactly.
It was like Kazakhstan. It was Kazakhstan, I think. It was Kazakhstan that he was a citizen of, something like that. Yeah. But you have all these different things happening, and you know that that's how they operate. Like, if you look at, if anybody reads history, like, the Russians were never good at real warfare. Because the way they fight war is just send as much men as you can, hopefully we'll outnumber them. But what they were good, and what their MO is, and has been for a very long time, is these operations internationally with, like, they'll... I don't know. I think Russia's the one country has the longest and oldest sleeper agents all over the world. Like, they would implement people when they were still like under a year old in a specific country, living a normal life, so they can utilize it. Like, it's known. It's not only like in a novel. It's real. So they've done it before. It's been proven that they do it, that they've done it before. So I don't think they stopped.
Yeah. So Keith Lewis wants to know, how long do you think Russia can keep this war up? If those supplies get shut off, like I'm talking about, not too much longer. Seriously.
Yeah, it's a very interesting question, because like you said, it all depends of what like support one side or the other has. It's like, if the US decides tomorrow, I'm done with you, Russia, Ukraine, here you have everything you need to smack him, it could be over within 6 months. You see them rolling back as far as their own borders because they're getting hammered. And if
think about the amount of equipment that's being destroyed on a daily basis. Like, how many Russian tanks have been taken out, and all of these armored vehicles and everything else is constantly getting freaking schwacked, right? It's just getting smashed. And so what Trump is looking at doing, in my opinion, obviously I'm not privy to this information, is increasing the flow of supplies into Ukraine, right? And out of Ukraine, in order to help them out monetarily and to help them out militarily. At the same time, going after the Russian supply chain inside of Iran, inside of Afghanistan and China and everybody else. And we're starting to put economic pressure on these countries to basically stop supplying Russia. Now, if we're successful at doing that, Russia is going to be hurting. And that's why I look at Belarus and I say this might actually be a problem, right? With the rumors that they might go into like Latvia and Lithuania or Belarus. Because if that's the case, that's Putin trying to have an excuse to start attacking us before all that shit happens. And Putin's not stupid, right? Like, let's not forget. And everybody thinks that all of this crap can't happen. And then we start talking about dudes getting schwacked over here in the United States of America with Russian connections, and it gets swept under the rug.
I really want people to understand the extent of what you just said, because it's so real. I have a buddy of mine who is, he just joined about 10 minutes ago to Discord. You know him. I introduced you to him not that long ago on that group chat when we were dealing with Ethan. And I'm sure if he wants to, he can tell a little bit the story of how outside of Ukraine, outside of Russia, in a very safe European country, the Russians try to come after him, like, very clearly, for being a public foreigner in Ukraine, like from the beginning of the war, with a very big public image. He has a meeting in a couple of minutes, so I don't know if he's going to be able to jump onto the stage today or not.
Couple minutes myself, actually.
But. Yeah, so it'll be for one of the other stages, but he's in here, and I'm sure he'll tell the story one day, and then people can understand firsthand that you think that they're playing, like Russia might be just because they're getting their shit kicked in here and there, that they're losing all these men and trucks and all these things. But what Russia's, more than 50% of Russia's military budget goes towards espionage and counter-espionage. More than 50%. They have a very, very large reach around the world of things that they do. They're very good at it.
Yeah.
So, and that's when people don't take OPSEC seriously, especially people that come to Ukraine. They find out quickly. Like, they find, like, correct. You find out really quickly that that's not a good idea. So yeah, it's real. This Russian threat is real.
But 100%.
I don't see them attacking Lithuania or Latvia. I don't see them doing that.
A lot of people didn't see them invading Ukraine either. But again, when we're talking about Putin being embarrassed on this level and almost a million people going down on the Russian side, and Putin's got to answer for all that crap, and we cut their supplies off and Ukraine starts pushing their poo-poo in, now you're talking about Russia being really in debt, not having shit for supplies, millions of people dead. BRICS is going to lose its legitimacy. I mean, Ukraine has more to it than just Ukraine. You know what I'm saying? There's more to Ukraine through Russia than just land. Say what?
100%, 100%, because Russia doesn't need Ukraine. Russia has the biggest mass of land. They can't fill it. You know, they can't fill it with they can't populate it. It's that big. So they don't need Ukraine for land. They need Ukraine for the people. They need Ukraine for a lot of other things. That's what they need Ukraine. They need Ukraine just like they need Georgia, and just like they need Kazakhstan, and just like they need every Uzbekistan and every other country around that area that they put their hands on. They don't need it. They need it for other reasons other than the land. And that's why Ukraine, and that's why Zelensky is so imminent on. One thing that we will not do is recognize any Ukrainian land in any sort of deal as Russian. Like, I don't care what you decide you let him keep. Might be temporary, and he keeps saying it will be temporarily occupied. It will not be recognized as Russian, because it's not about just the land. It's about, like, you know, Preston Stewart had a good point on this one. It's like, imagine Mexico saying, we want Texas because 50% of Texans speak Spanish. Mm-hmm. And we used to own Texas, or it was part of us. Like, so we want it back, and they just invade. Like, and then, yeah, we have to give it to them. Like, imagine the UK comes to the United States and be like, hey, listen, you have to give it to them because 50% of people speak that language. It doesn't work like that.
No,
the same thing as China couldn't do to Taiwan. And
correct. You're not lying, buddy. Yeah. You are absolutely correct. I am out of time. I do have to run. Got some other stuff that's popping off in the background that I have to take care of. But yeah, I like Preston. Preston's a good dude. I should actually give him a call and say hi and see what he's up to. And then one last thing. And I'm just going to leave you guys on this like little cliffhanger of a teaser. How cool would it be if my press pass would get approved for the White House?
Well, I would say it would be really
That'd
cool.
Be awesome.
They're about 3 months late, but okay.
Has anybody else has been approved? That you're
with? So the first person, you know how they're going to rotate that front seat? They're going to rotate so the first person has been there, and it was obviously the official press dude of X, because X has now a press thing. So he had the first seat, and Caroline Leavitt was very proud of that. But yeah, they officially rotated the seat.
Matt was sitting in that chair in the future.
All right, only be really cool if you ask the questions you're supposed to ask, and a lot of people are scared.
You're damn right. I'll ask those questions, and that's the great part about this.
And it would be really cool. Well, cheers.
All right, brother. Take care. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am off for now. I got to take care of business. I will see you guys again this evening. Peace.